Paul, your fans will hear that Patrick Laine didn't practice today and they'll worry. Can you say anything to alleviate their concerns?
Yeah, Patty didn't miss anything. 25 minutes. He'll be fine.
He's in for game one, then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's in the same boat as everybody else, but I have an expectation that he'll be there. Yet.
How do you feel about your special team so far in the playoffs?
It's almost too small a sample size. So I think we both gave up three. We liked it. Nothing to get overly excited. Didn't win as the series or lose as the series.
Which one do you think will be tested more by Nashville? Your power play, your penalty kill, or?
That's a numbers game. Whoever's in the box the least has the best chance to be good.
Hey, special teams as big as ever in this series? Or
always. There's going to be a piece of the game in every game that either leads to success or failure, whether you've got to be better in something, 5-on-5, your special teams, goaltending, whatever it is, there's going to have to be one piece that's better. Both teams have good power plays. Both have good penalty kills. There's not a weakness there for either team, so execution on both ends is the key.
Some guys are saying they don't expect a whole lot of power plays because it's the playoffs.
So you get a little further on, there's not, right? There's not as many in most of the series. Didn't in ours anyway, for all the talk about the physicality of our series, it was a low event series. You don't know. We've had extremes of them. We've had low power play games. We've had 12 guys in the box at the same time. So we'll see.
And some of you guys also think 5-on-5 play suits your team well. You prefer that.
Yeah, we're both both teams are real good 5-on-5, right? And so there's not an advantage where you're trying to hold 5-on-5 and do your damage on the power play. It's the 1 and 2 teams by points of the regular season, so Wallpark's your game, got to be good to win.
The word underdog kind of bounced around a bit in the room just now, talking to some of your players. Is that just a buzzword that we use, or do you feel like there is some merit to the fact that a team that loses a Stanley Cup final and has a few points more than you this year would be a favorite in this series, Paul?
I think you're going to see that word more in the first round when you get 1 and 8s going against each other, and then you get to this, and we don't have, it doesn't look to be a Cinderella story coming out of this other than Vegas, but that started in August. They certainly, their play says they're an elite team, so it's close. The team that starts at home has proven to be better than the team that starts on the road over the course of 82. It's a close gap, so they have an experience advantage from last year, and this is a new year.
But that experience factor, is that becoming a little less of a factor because your team has now won a series and they seem to be pretty immersed in this now?
Some firsts have been passed. They've got their game out of the way. They've won a game on the road. They've lost a game. Haven't seen an overtime game yet. That's the one that's left. At the end, it's experience probably is the better word, is belief. If you've been to the finals like they have, they believe they're good enough to win. They know how strong they are. We're building that belief as we go.
The other topic that kind of came up was this break. I mean, you guys had a break at the All-Star game. You had that break that you had to have, according to the league, in January. This break is different because you don't really switch off and go right. Go fly out and see family and friends and play golf and go swimming at the beach. It's how do they stay mentally sharp with this extended break?
Do we try to be really specific with what we do? The video that we show, the amount of time, there's no filler on the ice. After the warm-up portion is done, we're working on something specific and then we're off the ice. So keep them sharp. Recovery from a series, that was a piece to it. We're real, real tight on anybody nagging with anything. We don't put them on the ice. But that would be true of how we handle our year anyway. But we don't try to cover everything every day. Be specific with what we do.
But Eeler said it's just so easy to get up for this stuff because this is what you live for. But do you see that excitement level in the young players, and is it different than the way the veterans sort of approach this time of year?
No, there's excitement. I expected today and tomorrow to be just slightly edgy on the ice because they've had enough practice time. They want to get this going. Every team's at that point, right, with the exception of the game that's being played tonight. Motivation, getting wired up for the game. It's not one of 82 now. That's not an issue. Being sharp and executing is what we're trying to not improve on, but stay with here this week.
Paul, there are so many good players on both teams. Like you say, they're the top two teams in the regular season for the year, that it could be a really excellent game of hockey, whether it's 0-0 in the third or 5-4 or what have you. How do you make sure that your players stay focused and play their best hockey no matter what the score is?
You work at it for 7 months so that you get here. There's no new speeches going in. We're not changing anything with what we do. I think you're right. I don't know how many pucks cross the line, but I think there's going to be opportunities there. So we've got, it could be a low scoring game, but it won't be played. It won't be that either team's not trying to push the envelope offensively. They both have lots of confidence in that offensive game. We have very, very similar styles, different systems, but very similar styles of attack. So the focus part is probably the easiest part of the year at this time. Having them focused in December or after a break, that's more challenging. Everybody's wired in right now. It's harnessing that to execute well.
I've asked about using defensemen to pressure at their blue line when they break out. I've been watching a lot of Nashville. They do very similar things. Their defense are very aggressive when you break out. So how do you handle that? How do you deal with that?
You've got to get to the puck first so that you can create a gap. And that both teams' defenses may be different systems, but the mentality is the exact same. Don't give them any room to play on. So you've got to get to that puck first, and you have to have an option to go with it and not slow down when you touch it, because they're not going to slow down, and neither are we. The gap control without the puck is what we both do very well.
Brian Little had said, so you move him up, and he practices on that first unit. He'd said because there's question marks, you know, he's got to be prepared to do both. For you, is there danger that you move him up, and should Patrick come back, you kind of upset the balance on that second power play unit by not having him practice there? And two, what becomes the message to Brian on what you need him to be prepared for?
That was today. If we got into a game where there wasn't a player available on that unit, Brian most likely as a right-hand shot fits the top four that we run. So that was just, that's what we would do in a game given the situation that we had today. So he's got to practice it and work on it.